Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's nothing more relaxing than disco.
Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
Hello.
Hello.
So first off, I need to apologise in a grovelling manner for it being a late episode of Adrift, which we'll come on to in a minute. And I need to explain that contrary to what I said on the last episode, I am not in Chicago.
It's all very confusing, really. You're going to have to sort of tell us exactly what's happened.
Yeah, so I'll come on to that.
Okay.
But I'll start, I guess, by telling you where I am. Mm. I am in the English countryside.
Lovely.
Now, I'll explain about the Chicago situation. It was a bit of a disaster later, but I thought, what can I do to make up for the fact that I'm not going overseas to see my in-laws? I thought, let's go for a relaxing stay in a country house hotel. And this is what we did. And I searched to find one that had good facilities for a toddler. So basically, I can just sort of dump him off on a qualified childcare professional a couple of times a day.
Right.
And because we're travelling with him, it was very specific requirements I had. So we've ended up in a cottage on the grounds of this country house hotel, and it has a separate bedroom that Jean can sleep in.
Okay.
He's still with me.
Yep.
And the amazing thing about it was when I booked it, I just got this fantastic rate. This place would ordinarily be out of my price range, and yet it came up as so cheap. I thought, I've got to book this straight away before somebody else does.
Right.
So I got here and I found out why it's such a cheap rate.
Right, okay.
So we're in this cottage at the end of the driveway, the entrance to this country house hotel.
Yeah.
And their summer period is over, so they've decided to use these days to have their driveway resurfaced.
Oh.
So every morning at about 7:30, like, there's just this procession of trucks and tractors diggers and steamrollers and, you know, gentlemen using salty language to shout to each other.
How idyllic.
It's quite something.
This is true England. Come on, enjoy it. That's what English holidays are all about.
Like, it's to such an extent that if we want to go to the main building, we're not allowed to walk along the driveway because it's in such a state of maintenance. They have to send a golf buggy to pick us up, and we have to go around all these weird service roads where they usually have deliveries.
I hope it was really cheap.
But it was. It was a really good rate. But one of the other great things about it, so you know, when I come out of the cottage in the morning, I have a little chat with the workmen who are resurfacing the drive, doing the tarmacking.
Yeah.
And one of them said to me this morning, "You all right, buddy? Buddy? Isn't that nice?
Buddy, that's lovely. That means you're friends now. You've made friends.
It does, yeah.
You've made holiday friends, Jeff. I can't believe it.
I never enjoy a mate, but a buddy is very enjoyable, I think.
It's lovely.
So apologies for the podcast being late. The reason being that I brought all my recording kit with me, but I forgot to bring the wire that gets the sound off the recording kit onto my computer and then beams it out as a podcast. So sorry about that. And Annabelle, thank you for putting out a little message early in the week.
It's okay.
I mean, I don't know what that message said because it hasn't been recorded yet, but I know you're going to do it, so thank you for that.
Yeah.
Hey, they've got a swimming pool here at the hotel.
Oh, nice.
which so here's a question for you. They're also doing, you can tell what time of year it is, they're doing maintenance in the swimming pool changing rooms as well. I never feel that comfortable in a changing room anyway, as you might expect. It's very odd being naked around someone with a drill, I think.
I've never even tried to imagine it, but yeah, I would imagine it would be, now thinking, quite odd.
It's not good.
Very odd.
The other thing I've become paranoid about is I'm worried that I dry myself incorrectly.
Oh, see, this is the thing that no one ever sees you do. And so if you had to do it in front of someone else, you suddenly realise you're doing it wrong all these years. In what way do you think you might be doing it wrong?
I don't even know, but I was trying to watch how other people... I just got it in my head, what if I've been drying myself wrong all these years? So then I was trying to, like, watch other people drying themselves and see if there was anything they were doing that was notably different. But then I became worried what if, like, these gentlemen drying themselves think that I'm a pervert of some kind.
It would look that way, yes. Yeah.
It would.
So you didn't find out then if they were in some way more professional at drying themselves than you?
No, but I thought if we do an Adrift live show anytime soon, we could all get wet and then, like, do a communal drying. How does that sound?
I think I could probably just do it with the towel over our clothes just as a demonstration. I don't think we needed to get wet. I'm not sure that was necessary.
Such a killjoy, such a party pooper.
Please join me in this bubble that has been forever locked in the glass by the blower. It's their breath. It's horrible.
Adrift. Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
So we would love to hear from you. If you haven't shared your story yet, or if you've got a new one you want to share with us, then you can email us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Okay, this is from Dean. He says, I used to fly from London back to my hometown of Middlesbrough every few months to see family and friends, cheaper than the extortionate train. The nearest airport I could fly to was Newcastle. Now, being from Middlesbrough, I have what most people would consider a Geordie accent with a tint of a Yorkshire twang. However, in Newcastle, it is full-on Geordie. On my return to London, I arrive at the airport and proceed to the check-in desk. The lady there has an incredibly strong Geordie accent, which I have to listen to intently to understand. Near the end of the check-in, she hands me a tag and goes on to say, "Put this on your hand for courage." Now, in my head, I question this, but being a typical drifter, I decide not to ask her to clarify or to say it again. I think that maybe this is a new service offered to passengers who are nervous flyers, and this tag on the wrist is some sort of fast pass to get through security, the airport and boarding without unnecessary hassle to keep the passenger feeling calm. I actually decide that this is what it is. It must be right. I don't think I look nervous or anxious, but hey-ho, I proceed to attach said tag around my wrist. As I pass through security, I flash my wrist tag at one of the security guards and say, "Hi, I've got this tag on. What do I do?" He looks dumbfounded and proceeds to say, "That tag needs to be placed on your hand luggage?" It was at this point I realised my mistake and concluded the lady at the check-in desk did say, "Put this on your hand luggage," and not, "Put this on your hand for courage." I squirmed, laughed it off and carried on through the airport, knowing that I must have sounded like a complete idiot to that security guard. Just another day in this drifter's life.
Oh, that's so good.
Isn't it?
That's so good. Put this on your hand for courage.
And he did. Oh, so nice. Okay, this is from Antonia in Manchester, and she adds Chalton to be specific in case Jeff is interested. No,
I am very interested. Chalton cum Hardy. That's where I've told you many times we used to go to the pub quiz on a Sunday night at the Horse and Jockey.
Oh, the Horse and Jockey. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's Chalton on the green there. Yeah.
Okay, right.
I was there just the other week in Chalton, had a very nice meal in a restaurant called Amma's Kitchen.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
Lovely. Okay. Yeah. This is what Antonia says. I had swimming lessons every Saturday from a fairly young age. So by the time it came to have school swimming lessons, age 7, I was already a fairly competent swimmer. On what must have been the first school swimming lesson back after a holiday, I don't even think it was our first ever school swimming lesson, the instructors split us into 4 groups based on ability, ranging from beginners in group 1 to advanced swimmers in group 4. For some reason, I was put into the beginners group, i.e. the group with the children who couldn't swim. I was given armbands and told to put them on before getting into the shallow pool that must have only come up to my waist. Rather than tell the instructor that I could, in fact, swim, I accepted the armbands and got into the shallow pool. I then spent the lesson floating near the back, gingerly trying to copy the other children in my group and imitate someone who couldn't swim. This went on for several weeks, and I remember dreading the school swimming lessons. I felt so stupid having to pretend that I couldn't swim, but I was also worried about being found out and having them ask, "Why on earth didn't you just say you could swim?" To which there was no good answer. Then, during the lesson a few weeks later, one of the instructors suddenly singled me out whilst I was flapping around in my armbands and bellowed, "What are you doing in this group? You should be in group two." I awkwardly got out, removed my armbands and made my way over to group two and joined in. After about 5 minutes, the instructor of this group shouted out to me, "You're too good for this group. You should go to group three." I made my way over the pool where group three were, probably with my face as red as a tomato. I joined in, and again, after a few minutes, the group instructor shouted out to me, "You should be in the top group." I got out and made my way over to the top group, made up of only a select few. Within the space of about 15 minutes, I had been promoted from the beginners group to the top group, which I think must be some sort of record. Despite the immense embarrassment, I was glad that I could finally swim properly in the lessons from then on. I'd love to say that now I'm in my late 20s, I'm a much more assertive person. Unfortunately, that is not the case.
That's brilliant. Isn't that one of your great fantasies?
What, just suddenly having this amazing talent that I didn't know and just being discovered? Yeah. And trying something the first time and it just being like, oh, wow, she is a genius.
Yeah, this? I mean, that is as close as you'll get to that by being a ringer.
Yeah, unfortunately. Okay, finally, this is from Catherine, and she says, after hearing Jeff's story about almost shushing a group of adults with special needs in the theatre, I thought I should share my story. I went to the theatre with my mum last year. I can't remember what we saw. My sister works in a West End theatre and sometimes gets freebies for us, but I think it was Sunny Afternoon, the story of the Kinks. Anyway, not long after the show started, the lady behind me started talking, not whispering, but talking, and pretty much non-stop. I thought she might stop after a few minutes, but it soon became clear that she wasn't going to, so I turned my head towards her and shushed her with the obligatory finger to my lips. It almost worked. She reduced the talking to a whisper, but that was good enough that we could enjoy the show without it being a distraction. Then came the interval. The lights came up, and as I stood up, it became obvious what the situation was. Her husband was blind, and she had been describing the action on the stage to him so he could fully enjoy the show. I quickly sat back down. I didn't get an ice cream. I didn't go to the toilet. And I definitely didn't make eye contact with her.
Oh, that's magnificent. More of these, please. Share your story with us. Email hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port in a show called Adrift.
Annabelle.
Yes.
You have a story ready to go.
I do, yes.
What's it about this week?
It's about my 15 minutes of fame. Now, as everybody knows, as Andy Warhol said, in the future, everyone will be world famous for 15 minutes. Although I'm not sure that he was right, because there are 7.2 billion of us. And even if you shared your 15 minutes with 10 others, which is stretching a fame a bit quite a lot. And I, for example, I can't even remember the name of the third person who went up to the moon for the first moon landings. But if you shared it with 10 others, I worked out that it would take 308,219 years for us all to have our 15 minutes of fame. My maths might be wrong there, so nobody check. But still, it's clear that it's just not possible. However, and I'm not saying that I'm special, however, I have had mine. We once again stretch the meaning of the word fame and divide it up into two chunks, one 5 minute one and one 10 minute one. So the 5 minute one first. I had my photo in the Evening Echo, the local paper in Southend, twice. The first time I was about 9 and I'd taken part in a speech and drama competition, and they did a feature on this, and accompanying it was a big photo of my face, a close up, and I'm smiling with my chin resting on my fist. The whole thing was a bit weird because I didn't win or even come second or third. And there were some whispers that it was because my friend Susie Hurley's mum and dad worked at the paper, so may have pulled some strings. But I say to that, I entered this competition with Susie Hurley, and she also had her photo taken by the Echo photographer, and she won the competition, and her photo didn't appear and mine did. Maybe her parents didn't like her photo, or maybe they're insisting her face was blurred out like Kate Moss's kid, I don't know. But the second time my photo appeared in the Evening Echo, I had actually won a competition, a radio one, when I got best on air contributor, a category so prestigious it was axed the following year in a, well, something's gone wrong if Annabelle Port is getting an award kind of way. And when I rang my dad to tell him I'd won, the very next thing I said was, please don't ring the Evening Echo though, because it's embarrassing. So he put the phone down and he picked it up again and he rang the Evening Echo. And I made it to page 7, which I'm very proud of, because when he'd rung them on discovering I'd been nominated, I only made it to page 36. So page 7 was good. He did call them up again about, he called them up again recently about me. I think he must have them on speed dial now, whereas they have it on a nuisance caller alert. In fact, no, he called them up twice recently. This is when my book was published. He wanted to get them to do a story on how a local girl has a book out, even though I haven't lived in Southend for 25 years. And with all due respect to me, it was a crowdfunded book. In the end, they said for me to email with a press release, which he passed on to me, obviously because it's easier to ignore an email than endless calls from an irate 78-year-old. So I didn't make it into the paper that time, sadly. So that's my 5 minutes of fame. Now, if you're ready, it's time for my big 10 minutes.
Yes.
So we're going back to the 80s when Children's BBC had the broom cupboard. So it was a presenter, if people didn't know, a presenter introducing the children's late afternoon shows from a little cupboard. And it was decorated by lots of works of art sent in by the listeners. First presenter was Philip Schofield with Gordon the Gopher. Andy Peters did it, Andy Crane. But for 8 weeks in 1986, when Philip Schofield took a break, he was replaced by a female. And that female was... No, not me. I was still at primary school. Come on. It was Debbie Flint. And she'd been a contestant on Bruce Forsyth's Generation Games. So perhaps the first example of a kind of reality show star become a TV presenter.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, I was really, I don't know why, but I was really into her for some reason. It's weird how you latch onto things. Like, she was only there for 8 weeks, but I became briefly obsessed by her to the extent that I made a banner for her to hang in the broom cupboard. I'd basically just sellotape some paper together to make it. And I wrote, Debbie Flint, welcome, in bubble writing using felt tips. Why I chose Debbie Flint Welcome rather than the more traditional Welcome Debbie Flint, I have no idea. But she didn't hold it against me, as the following week it was on display on the wall behind her. And if you Google image Debbie broom cupboard, you can see it on the third result. It's there on the internet. It's so exciting. And that wasn't the only artwork, because one day Debbie made some kind of mistake. Sadly, I can't remember the exact details, but I think it was something like she forgot to introduce Danger Mouse, and then she apologised afterwards. So I made her a little sign, like a, you know, like a name card at a wedding, but longer. And it said on it, don't forget to introduce Danger Mouse, to sort of act as an aide memoir to her. And she put that up on her desk. I can't see that on Google Images. So both me and my sister sent things in. I can't remember what hers was. And when we saw our art in the broom cupboard on the television, we screamed so loudly that our dad ran to us, convinced that something horrific had happened, fell over the Hoover and really hurt his leg. So all in all, it's a very happy memory. I suppose I should point out that there was quite a lot of kids' artwork on her desk and walls. It was quite crammed, in fact. But I won't let this distract from my moment of glory, because you know all those people that had their art on the gallery and take heart, ha, is that the third result on Google Images now? Maybe for a few people. So this definitely was my 10 minutes of fame.
Shoo, 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 shoo.
Annabelle, I feel awful. I've not asked you about your big event last night at the Fringe Festival.
Yes. It was just wonderful. It was lovely.
So people turned up then?
Yeah, it was a full house. Lots of people came, and it was a lovely mix of local people and drifters. I met some very, very lovely drifters here. And all the local people were really nice people as well. And I feel like everyone was talking to each other and getting on. It was really nice. It was lovely.
Could you tell the difference between the two? Because the drifters were sort of sympathetic to what you were doing and the local people were stony-faced.
No, the local people were just as nice. It was, yeah, I feel I may have converted some to be drifters. I don't know. It's early days.
Oh, this is wonderful
yeah,
news.
Yeah,
this,
yeah.
This is great news.
But I was absolutely thrilled because it's a Wanstead Fringe Festival, and I contacted them saying that I'd be happy to do a book reading at any kind of event they were doing, thinking there'd be some kind of pre-arranged event and I would do a very brief, like 10-minute reading at one of these events. And then they gave me 2 hours to fill, and I was absolutely terrified of filling 2 hours, but I did it. I managed it.
You did 2 hours?
Kind of. If you know, we'll say like...
That's longer than a lot of films.
There was a break in the middle, and also there was a bit at the end where we were chatting and I was selling books, so that was nice.
Right.
But yeah, I did a Q&A and people actually asked questions, even though just in case I brought along some questions for people to ask that I would force upon them, just in case no one asked any questions. But I didn't even need to use them.
Did anybody ask any uncomfortable probing questions?
No, that was brilliant as well. There was no uncomfortable personal questions.
Okay.
So I call it a big success.
Well, speaking of uncomfortable personal information, the Partners podcast is ready to go.
It's not.
Yeah, so Emily Harrison has emailed it to me. Now, I'm in the countryside and I haven't downloaded it on the dodgy hotel Wi-Fi yet, but as soon as I'm back, which probably will be about the same time as we end up releasing this episode,
yeah,
I'll get it up there on Patreon for the Patreon supporters.
Are you going to listen to it first?
I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to listen to it full stop.
No, I think I'm going to listen to it. I think I am.
I don't think you should.
Oh!
You never hear anything nice about yourself listening at doors, somebody once said to me.
Okay, I'm not going to listen to it. Oh, that's brilliant. That's
eavesdropping on other people. You never hear anything you want to hear about yourself doing that.
No. Yeah. Oh, well, I'm really glad that, because that was one of the questions last night. Someone said, when's the Partners podcast coming out? And I said, the very vague, soon. But it really is soon.
Yeah, no, Emily, I'm so grateful to her. We'll have to send her a little something to say thank you. But she's edited it and it'll be ready to go, like I say, probably now. So if you support us on Patreon, patreon.com/adrift, even if it's just an American dollar a month, what's that, 70p a month for four podcasts, then you will get access to that, I guess. Actually, do you get access for that?
No.
Now I think about it.
You're giving it away.
You get a title. You get a title for 70p a month.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it $2? What is it? $2? $5?
I think it's $2 and above that you get the Partners podcast. But it's all on the webpage, isn't it, soon?
So 70p a fortnight.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, the rewards, which I've not looked at for a while, sorry. I should know them off by heart. You can find them all at patreon.com/adrift.
Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port are adrift with you, which is saying something about you.
All right, on to the incident, which this week is a discussion between myself and my wife about why we are here at a country house hotel in the UK rather than in Chicago. So, Sarah, we're not in Chicago.
No.
I said on last week's podcast we were going to be in Chicago. We're not in Chicago. We were looking forward to this holiday.
Yes.
We've both had a very busy couple of months.
Yes.
You've been in Edinburgh.
You've been doing all this cover work while other people are on holiday.
And we were just sort of limping towards the finish line to be able to go over there, have some late summer, early autumn Chicago weather. More importantly, be around Jean's grandparents so that we could just fob Jean off on them and get some time to ourselves.
Yes, exactly.
And rest.
Yes, and we were so looking forward to it.
And that hasn't happened.
No.
Now, the thing that's been going on concurrently with Edinburgh preparing for a holiday is...
I have been studying for a test called Life in the UK, which is something that I need to pass to get indefinite leave to remain, which is sort of the thing that you do that's less of a big deal than becoming a citizen.
And how does this tap into us not being in Chicago?
Because you did all the legwork of registering me for the test. You did that. What I've been telling people is that you did it because that was your job and studying was my job. But the fact of the matter is you do all paperwork in our marriage in a way that is humiliating, but you do it. So you registered me for the test. I studied. I was so exhausted, but I just kept studying. I just come back from Edinburgh, but all I did was study. And you're supposed to give yourself like 6 weeks. And I was like, I'll do it in one. Watch me go. And I studied. And I showed up to my test and my brain was packed full of all this information. And the guy asked me for my paperwork and I handed it to him so that he could send me in the test center. And he said, Miss Barron, I'm so sorry, you can't take the test. You registered yourself as having been born in the UK, which of course I didn't do. You filled out the paperwork.
But it was just a little mistake. So I feel that everything else, it had your American passport number, it had the fact you were born in Lake Forest, Illinois. I just selected from the drop-down by mistake.
Country, UK, instead of USA.
And I don't know if I did it because I'm accustomed to clicking UK. I don't know if I just like clicked it by mistake. You know, it was a little thing from a drop-down. But why would they have UK as an option? Because if you were born in the UK, you don't need to be taking the life in the UK test.
So that happens. I call you up. You rage about all of it, sort of as you just did. But if you just gave us a 2, you were raging at a 10.
So I was like this. What? This is ridiculous. Why can't they just look? It's clearly a mistake. Go in, talk to them. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is how I'm being on the phone, right?
Right. But what you're doing right now is sort of like a performance for your radio listeners, whereas what you were doing in real life was like real rage, right?
And frustration. It had foul language in it.
Yeah. And just like real rage, right?
Yeah.
So I then become so upset that you haven't acknowledged, you haven't just said the words, I'm sorry. I get off the phone in a state of rage and exhaustion and all of these things. I call up my friend and I start screaming about your behavior. And amidst the screaming, we still are not 100% sure what happens. But what we think happens is that my residence permit, which is essentially like a little credit card that you carry around in your passport, it falls out of my passport. I lose it forever. So I go from enraged that I can't take the test and I have to keep studying during the holiday to, oh, we're not going on a holiday because we find out after hours of phone calls with lawyers, it's a really bad idea to travel even if you have a passport without your residence permit.
This could jeopardize your whole visa application.
Yeah, so it's just, it's not worth it. So we're told that we can't go on the holiday.
So here's what I was feeling at the time. I think I would have got to an apology, but my instant reaction was to rage against the machine. What a stupid system it is that something's clearly a mistake. There should be a human there able to recognize human error. There should be a person who can see this as a mistake and make a judgment. And that is what is the awful thing about, I mean, it's awful that I've made a mistake on a drop down, but it's such a small thing by comparison to them not being, and I'm raging against this, and I want you to be angry with them, with me.
Which I would have done, and which I was, but I just needed a moment of, oh my God, Sarah, no, I didn't. It's okay, I would have, oh my God.
So you needed the apology first.
No, It's what I would have done, but I just needed it eventually.
But you would have got there. You would have got the apology eventually.
See, now I just think we're devolving into where we were before. I'm trying to keep us on topic.
This is the second time we tried to have this
conversation. Yeah, and we just wound up getting into the same argument again the first time.
But my point is I would have said sorry, but often in life, you will take the side of the opponent rather than me.
We can't. This goes in too many directions. I'm not getting into it right now.
You do. And then because you were angry at me for not saying sorry, then I became angry at you for not being enough of a grown-up to be able to fill a form in the first place.
Right. But that's you grasping at straws for just what this is worse than the last one. To stay on target.
So that's why we didn't get to go to Chicago.
So we didn't go to Chicago because in a rage at you for not apologizing about filling out a form incorrectly, I flung my visa onto the streets of Stratford.
But would you have passed the test?
I think I would have.
What did the Chartists campaign for? The right to vote for 18-year-olds, the right to vote for the working class, the right to vote for 21-year-olds, or the right to vote for women?
Right to vote for working class.
Is the right answer. What created the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland? The Great Governments, the Act of Union, the Great Union, or the Act of Governments?
Act of Union.
Is the right answer.
Yay.
Where is the Cenotaph located? Dorset, Whitehall, Trafalgar Square, or Wiltshire?
Whitehall.
Is the right answer.
Yes.
Who is Queen Elizabeth II married to?
Prince Philip. Know it already.
Is the right answer. Which of these is a famous classical music event in the UK? Tea in the Park, the Proms.
Proms.
The Proms is the right answer. Who appoints life peers? The Prime Minister, the Monarch, the Speaker, or the Shadow Cabinet?
Appointed by the Monarch.
Is the right answer. Where was Robert Burns from?
Scotland.
Okay, is the right answer. What's the capital of England?
London.
Is the right answer. Which flag has a white cross on a blue background?
Scottish.
Is the right answer. The UK government hasn't used the power to suspend the Northern Ireland Assembly. True or false?
False.
is the right answer. What is not a fundamental principle of British life?
Oh, you should read these all out.
Looking after the environment, looking after yourself and family, driving a car, or treating others with fairness?
Driving a car.
Is the right answer. Who was the first Briton to win the Ooh. Olympic gold medal in 10,000 metres? Mo Farah, David Weir, Sir Chris Hoy, or Bradley Wiggins?
These sports ones are difficult, but I think it's Mo Farah.
Is
They're difficult for me.
Right answer. Roast beef is a traditional food of which country? Scotland, England, Northern Ireland, or Wales?
England.
Is the right answer. Which two British film actors have recently won Oscars? Colin Firth, Leonardo DiCaprio, Tilda Swinton, or Jackie Stewart?
Tilda and Colin.
Correct. Which two are British overseas territories? Falkland Islands, Ireland, St. Helena, or Hawaii?
Falkland Islands and St. Helena.
Yes. Which flower is associated with England? Thistle, daffodil, rose, or shamrock?
Rose.
When did the first Christian communities appear?
Let me say something quickly. So people can have a sense of an ending.
Yeah.
We're at question 17. We have to get to 24.
Okay. Fourth and fifth centuries, third and fourth centuries, second and third centuries, or first and second centuries?
Do you want to repeat the question?
When did the first Christian communities appear in Britain?
Third and fourth centuries.
Is the right answer. Who built the Tower of London? Oliver Cromwell, William the Conqueror, Henry VIII, or Henry VII?
William the Conqueror.
Is the right answer. Which charity works to preserve important buildings? National Trust, NSPCC, Age UK, or the Red Cross?
National Trust.
Is the right answer.
Oh.
When is Christmas Eve?
Oh, 24th December. See, some are very easy.
What palace was a cast iron and plate glass building originally erected in Hyde Park, London, England, to house the Great Exhibition of 1851? Crystal Palace, Dream Palace, Great Palace, Gold Palace.
Crystal Palace.
That's the right answer. Three to go. When's St. David's Day? 17th of March, 1st of March, 30th of November, or 23rd of April?
1st of March.
Is the right answer. Which of the following is part of the UK? Channel Islands, Wales, Canada, or St. Helena?
Wales.
It's the right answer. And your final question. Which of these UK landmarks is in Wales? Snowdonia, the Lake District, Loch Lomond, or the Giant's Causeway?
Snowdonia.
Is the right answer.
I got 100.
24 out of 24. And I just want to say those questions are a lot easier than some
of
the ones you have.
Yeah, some of them are really hard.
Because I've spent a lot of time on social media moaning on about how ridiculous these questions are.
Was that the exam? Was that from that exam? Remember we saw that?
Yeah, I don't know. But you got it all right. And hopefully you'll pass.
I've said, you know, I try to make sure that I don't get too many opportunities nepotistically off the back of your wild success. But I have suggested that I do think I should be on Reasons to be Cheerful. Me and Ed Miliband taking that test side by side, I think would be.
Okay, I'll make it happen.
Funny.
All right. We could do it as a little video. Hear a little video.
Hear a little video.
All right. We're done here.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy birthday for all of you who aren't listening, and those of you who are, you're in on the joke. Great, good work.
Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port, Adrift.
Thank you.
Mark Hector tweeted me, Annabelle. He says, I was listening to episode 54 of Adrift. Do you think Upsy Daisy gives it up a little too easy, kissing everything, and can't keep herself out of Iggle Piggle's bed? Well, Mark, I appreciate you listening to the podcast. I also appreciate you getting in touch. But I think there's a real problem with the way that you're judging this woman's behaviour. Like, I think she should be free to do what she wants to do with no judgment.
I
think it's a very dated way of looking at these things. And I would also point out, and I think this is key, it's Upsy Daisy's bed
that
Iggle Piggle keeps getting into.
Very good point. So really, should we be judging Iggle Piggle if we're judging anybody?
Exactly. So just wanted to address that. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I've been doing. Do you ever do this when you're on holiday? You judge the other people. When you're having dinner, you look around the restaurant and you try and figure out who they are.
Mm.
And so looking around the other night, I feel that I saw a group of five women who are having a fine time, but none of them are really enjoying it that much. And I think one of them has been really trying to organise this for years, and they finally capitulated and come away on this weekend. Mm. And they all think, yeah, this is kind of fun, but there's other stuff I'd rather be doing with different people. So I think I've spotted that.
Right.
I think I've spotted a couple who are perhaps contestants on a reality show that I would never have heard of and probably feature in things like Heat magazine.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They've just got that look young and a particular type of glamorous, you know.
Yeah.
Who else have I seen? We've seen a big man who my wife is referring to as Big Durr.
Durr?
Big Durr, right. You know, like a big strapping guy.
Right, right.
Who else? I think we've seen a father and his two adult sons on holiday with their new stepmom trying to forge a bond, and it's not going very well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh.
And what do you think everyone else is saying behind you and your wife's back? What are they saying about you?
I give it 6 months.
Now that you're listening, it's happening. Do you know it? Do you like it? When will you be here in the future? I will be here in the future.
Adrift. With Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
Okay, on to Quandary Corner at the GLAP Clinic. We're not in Problematic this week, as you know. No. I'm sitting on a sun lounger. I just want to say, I've not mentioned this yet, I'm sitting on a sun lounger in the little back garden area of this cottage, and it is drizzling.
Oh, that's a perfect English holiday. There you go.
Yeah. So we're not in Problematic. Who's the first one from?
It's from Sarah Dudley. She says, hello, Jeff and Annabelle. Some advice needed from the GLAP Clinic at Problematic, please, or at least some reassurance that my anxiety regarding sauna etiquette is not entirely unique. I was just on holiday in a caravan park with the family. We went to the park's pool, and while there, I asked my husband to look after the kids whilst I popped into the sauna. I promised that I'd only be 10 minutes. When I entered the tiny sauna, there was a family of three already sitting there, an elderly Asian lady and her two adult daughters. Although I don't find sitting with strangers particularly relaxing, I couldn't exactly walk straight out in case they thought it was because of them. So I went in, tried to look relaxed and not at all eavesdropping on their family time, whilst they conversed in hushed tones in another language. Finally, they decided to leave. Brilliant, now's my chance to wait an extra minute and then leave myself. Obviously, you can't leave at the same time. That would look weird. Unfortunately, as they walked out, a man walked in. Well, then I'm sure you'll understand that I then had to stay in so he wouldn't think I was walking out because of him. Anyway, about 45 minutes later, I was finally able to rejoin my family. Hubby said, "You were gone more than 10 minutes, so you relaxed?" I told him about being trapped by my anxiety after possibly having anyone think I might be leaving the sauna because of them. He called me a weirdo. So my question is, particularly for the Scandinavian-loving Jeff, is there a socially acceptable time to be in a sauna? And when can you leave without it looking as though you're leaving because of somebody else entering or being in the sauna?
I mean, I think like I would have behaved in the exact same way as you did there. But I think if you were a Scandinavian, if you're a Finn, for example, I don't think you'd be worrying too much about other people's feelings in that particular situation. I don't think it would occur to a Finn that was rude. So you could be more Finnish, I guess. And if you are a Finn and you're listening to this and you're thinking, Jeff, no, you've really misjudged us as a nation, then do let me know about it.
If it was reversed, and if you walked into a sauna and someone else left, what would you think? Would you think it's because of you?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But I do think a normal person would probably think, oh, they've been here ages. I have to say, I think 2 to 3 minutes is fine.
Yeah.
In this situation. We had a similar one of these a while ago about a swimming pool, didn't we? And I can't remember what rule I established with that, but a sauna specifically, I think, you know, if you play a little song in your head, the duration of a pop song in your head is how long you should stay in the sauna for and then leave.
Oh, that's a great way of doing it. It's like an egg timer thing in your head. Brilliant.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm totally in agreement with that. So that is sorted out now. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to Chris. He says, I wonder if you could advise on how I should have dealt help with this situation, please. I live on a relatively quiet residential road on the fringe of Liverpool. One day I'm wasting time aimlessly browsing the internet when I thought, I know, I'll see if Google Maps have updated the street view of my road, as I assume everyone does. I clicked on and was pleased to see that it had been. I made my way over to my house to see if I was in or if mine or my wife's car was there. To my surprise, they weren't, but there was a car neatly reversed into my driveway that I didn't immediately recognise. That's strange, I thought. It then dawned on me that this was the guy from across the road's car. I scanned the camera around to his house and sure enough, there he was, standing in his doorway, clearly watching the Google car drive past. I was quite amused at the caught red-handedness of it, but also curious about why he would do this. He has a driveway himself, and like I say, it's a quiet road with space to park. Me and my wife both work routine hours Monday to Friday, so I began wondering, did he always do this? We always exchange pleasantries with my excellent small talk such as, hi, how's it going? This weather, eh? Okay, see you then. But all I can think is, he must know that I know, so shall I say something? Like, why hasn't he said something? Can I say something out of curiosity or amusement without sounding like it bothers me? I was certain it was written on my face that I knew his not-so-terrible secret. Anyway, the situation fortunately resolved when he moved out about a year later, probably to escape the humiliation of being caught out as a rogue parker. Was it correct to just say nothing according to the Drifter Code of Conduct?
Oh, God. I mean, that would have eaten away at me.
Because why? Why would he do that? Yeah. It's quite weird.
Yeah. I quite often will have an unsuccessful interaction of this kind prefaced by me saying, let me ask you a question. You will have heard me say that loads of times.
Yeah,
won't
you? Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, and so you might have gone, let me ask you a question. Why do you sometimes park on my drive?
I would have gone, let me ask you a question. I was perusing Google the other night, looking at the various things that are on there, and I happened across the street view of our street. And then imagine my surprise when your car was in the driveway of our house. And then furthermore, imagine when I then scrolled round to your house and there was nothing in your driveway, just you looking at, you know, I would have given it all that, I think. No. I would have invited them round for dinner, had a perfectly convivial evening,
yeah.
And then steered the conversation round to, have you seen that? They've got this Google Street View these days. Hey, why don't we have a look at our street just for fun?
No!
Yeah,
no, that's a brilliant,
you know, like I was
it.
Like I was Poirot. Gathering the suspects round.
Oh, you have hit onto it. Because that when you were just saying that you would just bring it up, I think that no one looks good in that situation because you look slightly weird going on Google Street View a lot and then sort of noticing it and then pointing it out. And they look weird for doing it. But yeah, be like, oh, this would be a laugh. Let's see
if...
And then be like, what? Hold on a minute. Why is your car there? Ha, 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 ha. And maybe then you find out.
Yeah, but I mean, can I just acknowledge that the truth of the matter is I wouldn't have said anything. This is all just fantasies that I'm playing out in my mind.
So the Drifter Code of Conduct is obviously to say nothing, right?
Yeah, of course it is. If you have a situation where you want to know what the rules are, what the Drifter Code of Conduct is, then you can email us hello@adriftpodcast.com. All right, there we go. It's the outro. Thank you for listening. Apologies once again for it being late this week. I feel terrible about it, but there you go. It's me being an idiot with this missing wire. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music during the incident and for editing the Partners podcast, which is available now. Speaking of partners, thanks to Sarah for being on the Adrift. The podcast is called Adrift. On the incident this week. I don't know how that went because I haven't recorded that yet, so I'm doing the outros with the thank yous in them, but it's quite possible that my wife and I have separated as a result of that conversation, so I don't know. Thanks to Vince Lynch and Simon Wilcox. They are our announcers and made the idents. Patrick Gunning and Iwana Babu provided technical support, as did Annabelle's lover Tom at your end.
Yes, thank you, Tom.
He set you up there.
Yeah.
You're sitting on your bed at the moment.
No, I'm sitting at the desk. I've got a desk in my bedroom.
Oh, I was imagining the the pajama party scene from Greece.
Oh, sorry. So far from that, it's unbelievable. Yeah, sorry.
You got your hair in rollers.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, not at all. No.
Not
no.
at all. No. Who haven't we thanked? Carla Gowlett took the photos. Kim Rainey made the artwork. And I think we're fairly much done here. This has been okay, hasn't it? I mean, it's not ideal.
Well, me, you haven't edited it yet. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And that's it. If you want to email us, it's hello@adriftpodcast.com. And finally, remember, put this on your hand for courage.
Adrift.
Adrift.
On to the podications. The first one comes from Ellie Brammer. Annabelle has put in brackets. Should have been for last week. I'd printed it out but forgot to give it to you. And then in capital letters, I hate myself.
I do hate myself, Ellie. I'm so sorry.
Dear Jeff and Annabelle, hiya.
Hiya. Hiya.
I would like to cheekily ask for a podication for myself for around the 3rd of September, this being the date that I start my new job. It's quite a big change for me as I currently work 2 days a week in a shop and the rest of the week as a freelance bookkeeper, but my new job is in an office working every day, so I'm a teeny bit nervous and a podcation would be lovely, a lovely thing to look forward to in my first scary week. I've been listening for a long time along with my husband, Matt, who introduced me to you in the early days. I've recommended the podcast to my friend who's been listening to you too. That's amazing.
Yeah, wow.
I was waiting for the punch. I was waiting for... But, you know, they hated it. I currently work in the shop Fat Face. I've worked there on and off for 7 years and I've loved working there and I'm slightly unsure about leaving, but I know it's the right thing to do for my family. Over the last couple of weeks, I have had the most amazing customers and it feels like when you're about to have your hair cut and everyone's saying how nice your hair is and then you have second thoughts about getting it cut. Anyway, I was only saying to my husband the other day that no one famous has ever come into the shop, whereas my sister worked in Holland and Barrett around the corner and Noddy Holder used to come in all the time. Who'd have thought that Noddy Holder would be in that health supplements and health food shop? Doesn't seem the type, does he?
No.
But this week I was stood in the shop staring out the door and it was a really quiet day when none other than Jeff walks past. At first I thought, no, it can't be, but I live and work in Macclesfield and as Jeff is from Macclesfield, I thought, yes, it is him. I then tentatively smiled and he smiled back and then I can't believe I did this. I did absolutely nothing.
Why
didn't I come out of the shop and say hello? Why, by the time I felt definitely sure it was you, Jeff, you had walked past and it would have meant running out of the shop and running after you and stopping you, then saying something completely incoherent and cringeworthy, then replaying the conversation in my head for days and cringing every time I thought of the babbling mess I was. Well, firstly, I mean, I wouldn't want to have been responsible for somebody then like coming in and taking the contents of the petty cash tin. So it's probably good that you didn't, you know, abandon your station during, during duty. But I always like saying hello. I know, like in real life, like just talking to people generally, I don't always like saying hello to, for example, a stranger on a bus, but it's always nice to meet people who listen to Adrift. And when I remember it, because I then got into a panic in my own head thinking, oh, do I know you? Are you somebody I went to school with?
Oh, really? You remember it? Oh.
Yeah. Well, Ellie tweeted me afterwards as well, so, you know, it stuck in my mind.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That was my thought. I thought, oh, I wonder who that is. I mean, you look too young to be somebody I went to school with. Are you a cousin of mine?
Oh.
And so, yeah. So Ellie, good luck in the new job. Sorry we're late on it, and I'm sure I'll be walking around Macclesfield again, but you probably won't see me from your office. I'm guessing it's not public facing in the same way. So, you know, that was our chance to say hello to each other.
It's gone.
I'd been to see my Auntie Eileen, you see.
Oh, had you? How is she? Is she all right?
Yeah, she was fine. My cousin Rachel was there along with my other cousin, Stephen Smith, who was visiting too, who I've talked about before. He used to sell Santa hats outside McDonald's in Macktown Centre.
Oh, all year round?
Yeah. No, he used to. The rest of the year he would sell lighters, you know, like five gas lighters for a pound or three? I can't remember.
Right.
You can always tell how well the economy's doing by how many gas lighters you can get for a pound.
Yeah.
All right. Catherine McCulloch writes next, who says, "Hello, please say hi to my brother Carl, who listens to the podcast, and remind him of the time our mum rang the computer shop, Mr. Chips, to ask if they had the game Ghostbusters 2 for the Nintendo, and was met with the reply, 'I don't think so, love. This is a chip shop.' as she rang Mr. Chippy instead." That's great. Easy mistake to make.
Yeah, we've all done it.
It was his 40th on the 4th of August, and I think he was expecting a publication from me, but I'm lazy and never got round to it. It's also about time I contributed to the show with one of my most cringeworthy moments. When I was 13, I had a boyfriend that was so into amateur dramatics, and he wanted me to come and see him in a show. So I went and sat through it with his mum. I remember one part of the show involved a girl dressed as Danny Zuko from Grease, miming to songs from the film. She was rubbish. There was an interval, and my then boyfriend's mum was talking to a woman who asked me how I was enjoying the show, and I said, "It's good, but that last dressed as Danny Zuko can't mime." "That's my daughter," she replied. Then started going on about how her daughter was the understudy and she had to go on at the last minute and hadn't had much time to rehearse.
Oh, God,
this is so awful. I feel sick thinking about it. It's still the most embarrassing time of my life, even more embarrassing than the time I decided to go for a run with the dog and tripped over him in the street. Keep up the okay-ish work and stay socially awkward. Catherine. Oh, Catherine, thank you for sharing that, and happy birthday to Carl. And finally, Lee Haywood says, "Hi, Annabelle and Jeff."
Hi.
Hi. "I apologise in advance, but I'd like a podcation for my birthday on the 12th of September. I realise it's such short notice and you may have already recorded in advance." Well, actually, you'll be getting it late, even though today is the 11th September that we're recording. You'll be getting it late just due to my idiocy. So sorry about that. "Thanks again for such a heartfelt podcast that strikes so many chords with myself, Grand Chief Lee." I think that's what Annabelle's title was for me anyway. Well, have a good birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy. The rain is really starting to come down, so I'm going to get electrocuted.
Yes.
So there we go. Ellie Brammer, good luck in the new job. Carl, happy birthday from Catherine McCullough, your sister. And Lee, happy birthday, Grand Chief Lee. That was podcast. Sorry it's late again. And there'll be another one next week. Bye-bye, Annabelle. Over and out.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.